Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're coming to this last, the 18th installment from the book of the God called The Guide. This is on page 199. Starts with the chapter, Everything in the Creation Knows the Name of Allah. The Meaning of Ash-Sharia and Al-Hakika. And then I think there's an ayah, the deep meaning of Musa's question to God on the mountain. Epilogue, which is more of a poem. And then there's a bit of a, just part of the epilogue. So, inshallah. Open with the Fatiha and then we'll get into the reciting. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم والضالين آمين لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله Muhammadan Rasulullah Ibrahim Rasulullah Musa Rasulullah Isa Rasulullah Alayhim Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam alayka ya wudu salam tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ya dhul jalali wal ikram. Page 199, everything in the creation knows the name of Allah. If you open your ear and you listen carefully, you can hear the cat crying, Yahoo. In the Arabic language, it calls, Ya Allah, Yahoo. Some time ago, I had two kinds of doves. One kind called Rauf, 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 Rauf. It would begin before Al-Fajr and continue for about 15 minutes after Al-Fajr. And again in the evening before sunset, Rauf, Rauf, Rauf. For about 15 minutes, and then it would stop and put its head under its wing and wait. Then it would begin again and move as though it were dancing. The other kind of dove called Allah, Allah, Allah. Everything knows the name of Allah. Everything remembers Allah. Everything remembers. Allah says that everything that He created, the animals, the birds, or people, that they remember His name as you remember His name. Even the cat remembers the name of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his Quran, there's nothing in creation except it praises Allah. When you open the ear of your heart, you can understand. Some speak clearly for you to hear, and for everything in his way, there's a chance to know. There's a story about a gazelle in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person caught a female gazelle, and in her language, she said to the Prophet, I'm a mother, and I have left my children far away, and I have milk, and I would like to give the milk to the children. Please ask this person to let me go, and I promise to return after I have given my milk to my children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the man, let this gazelle go to feed her children. If she does not return, I will give you myself as a slave. The man took the Prophet's hand in agreement, and after not more than half an hour, the gazelle returned. The man saw this picture and said to the Prophet, are you a prophet? The Prophet answered him, yes, I am a prophet. And the man asked, how can I believe that? The Prophet told him to ask the gazelle, but she's an animal, he said. And the Prophet said to him, she can speak Arabic. Now ask her who I am. The person then asked the gazelle, who is this person? And the gazelle, speaking in the Arabic language, answered, he is the Prophet Muhammad, la ilaha illallah, and he is Rasulullah. The man then repeated what the gazelle had said, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadan abduhu Rasulullah. The meaning of Ash-Sharia and Hakika. The meaning of Ash-Sharia and Al-Hakika, in light of the saying, Jibril descended upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first with the law, and once that had been settled, he came a second time with the truth. When Allah created all the different kinds of creatures, he made the human being the Khalifa through Adam. He taught the human being how to walk and how to live in this material world. He began, first of all, with the outside things. For example, what are the things he needs to eat? How to live with other people? How to live with his wife? How to live with his children? How to be with the animals and everything about his life? This is the outside, because everything is for the body. He needs to live and keep his body the way Allah wants. And for that, Allah sent the first law to all the prophets, from Adam to Seth until after Noah. He sent the law for the people to know how to live and to know what the body needs. And in the beginning, not everyone can contain or understand the truth. Allah, my beloveds, gave the Prophet Muhammad everything. When he sent him to Mecca, he sent him for the people. Their life was full of dirty things. Men killed their daughters, and there was stealing in the street. They stole from others and killed them. The people fought, and the strong defeated the weak. And in this time, people have returned to be like they were in that time. You see many things, but in a different way. The strong like to defeat the weak. The rich like to oppress the poor and to not leave space for another to live. And this is the same case as before, when Allah sent them the Sharia, the law. Most of them understood the Sharia, but some refused to follow it. And if he was strong, he would use a sword and refuse to follow the Sharia, because he wanted to take everything for himself. He stopped with himself, with his nafs. And it was for this reason, in the beginning, that Allah sent the law to teach the people how to live a perfect life and to help the poor. He gives everyone exactly what they need. And after that, when Allah sent the truth, He sent the order for the truth with Jibril. This means that He sent the order to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Jibril to give the truth. The prophets had the Sharia and the truth from the beginning, but first Allah sent the order to give the Sharia. Allah says in His Quran, O beloved Prophet, give what I give to you to the people because the people need what I send. This is about the Sharia. Then after about 5 years, He sent another ayah to the heart of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O my beloved Prophet, read for the people the Quran and the wisdom. The wisdom is the essence of the truth. He tells the Prophet to give the wisdom to those who can understand the word, and to give everyone what he needs and what he can carry and what he can understand to follow the law of Allah. The important thing is not to give the wisdom to everyone, but only to those who can understand it and contain it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not give the truth to the people who do not understand it, who refuse it, and who throw the wisdom away. Do you give meat to a child who is one day old? What would this mean? You would kill him. But he is also not to forbid the wisdom to those who are thirsty and hungry for it. Give it to him, because if you do not give, then what do you make? You kill him, and Allah asks you about that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave all the essence of the truth and said to Ali, do not give this truth to anyone who could not carry it and who does not care about it. For that reason, Ali said, I took two things from my beloved Prophet. The Sharia, the law, and the Hakika, the truth. I have everything from him, all the secrets, but I cannot speak for everyone, because if I spoke about everything or about any secret, maybe they would kill me. Do you know what he meant? They could not understand what he spoke about, and maybe this would break their hearts, because the heart of the people could not contain what he gave. This is from the real wisdom, and it's from the mercy, not to give the truth to the person who does not understand or does not care about the truth. There are animals that if you put out a certain fragrance, the fragrance attracts them and kills them. Everyone loves the fragrance, my beloved. But the people who are like these animals will die if you give them some of this kind of fragrance. He will leave the dunya because he still likes the dirty things. Allah put him in his place, in the right place for him. Can you give the truth to a person who does not understand the truth and who refuses it? This is exactly like killing him. And Allah asks you about this. And for that reason, from the wisdom, he first gave the law. If he gave the truth in the beginning, believe me, most of the people would not understand, and most of the hearts of those people would be broken. And this is from the wisdom of Allah. When Allah says Iqra in the beginning, it is important to know, my beloved, that the Quran contains the Sharia and the truth. Under every word, my beloved, there are more than 1,000 meanings. When he says Iqra in the beginning, this means read. But you know that the Prophet did not know how to read or how to write. He didn't go to school. Well, why does Allah say Iqra? And what does the Prophet answer? He says, excuse me, I do not know how to read or how to write. My father and my people did not teach me to read. This is his answer. And then Allah says again, beloved Prophet, Iqra. 2 times he says it. Read. Why does he say this 2 times? First, Allah says, read in the name of your Lord who created. Then he says, read, and your Lord is most generous. Iqra in the name of your beloved God who created everything. In that moment, there was no presence for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He returned to the place he came from, to the reality, to the real Hamad, praiseworthy. Then when Allah said Iqra the second time, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam read everything. He looked to the tablet, al-lawhan mahfuz, and read everything from the beginning to the end in one moment. And after that, from his presence, because there was a message from Allah for the people who were waiting. Allah did not only send him for some people, but he is the mercy for all kinds. And this is the wisdom. The Quran has more than 1,000 meanings. The person who stops with the outside meaning stops with the Sharia. If he goes deeply and he goes through the word, then he can take the real meaning. When he says Iqra, he does not say to read this book or another book. He told him to read the Quran for the people to follow the order of Allah, but at the same time, he means to look to your heart, because this is the heart of your beloved God. When the Prophet ﷺ looked at his heart, he read Allah's book, and this is the book of Allah. For that reason, he says, I am the Quran. I am the Holy Quran. This is from the beginning when he was in the cave. When Jibril first came with the order for the Sharia, this did not mean that the Prophet did not have the truth. He had everything. Jibril came to say that there was permission from Allah to give the law for those who needed it and to keep the truth from those who did not understand. And this teaching was not for the Prophet, because Allah taught the Prophet everything, but it was for those beloveds who came after him. For the guides to know how to give. And this does not mean to leave the Sharia. You must be careful about the Sharia. The Sharia and the truth are like a tree. The tree is covered with bark. If you take the bark from the tree, it dies. So it is important to be very careful about the Sharia. Now, when you are with people, it's important to give them what they need. They are crying for the Sharia, so give them the Sharia. But if you see a person who can understand the truth, it's important for you to give them the truth. Sometimes, when I give the teachings in the mosque, I look and see that there is a beloved near me, and I begin to send the word of the truth, to take the veil from my words, to send the truth to his heart. I give food to everyone, but there are different kinds of food for all the beloveds. Some need one kind of food and take it, and another needs another kind. And everyone has the chance to take what he wants. This is a teaching from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to know how to give and how to teach. This is the meaning, beloved, and you are from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone who loves him is from him and part from him. And he wants to show you how to take and how to be very careful about what he gives. And for that reason, he sent the Sharia first, and then the truth, and no one can live between the people without the Sharia. You cannot sit with people if you're not like them, if you do not give them the Sharia, but if you are between your brothers and sisters, then you can be in real freedom and give and take your chance as Allah wants from you, and drink from the cup of Allah. This is like when you build a house. There is the building, and inside the building there is the truth. You can say that the treasure is inside the heart, but the veil of the heart is the Sharia. Without the heart, who can contain the truth? From the beginning, Allah sent the complete message to all the prophets, but there was the order to give the Sharia first. I'm sure that if I took off all of the covers, it would be difficult for you to remain here after that. The veils are from the wisdom of Allah for you to know how to walk, how to feed yourself, how to feed the people, and to know how to pray following the law of Allah. For that reason, be the beloved of Allah and be very careful about the Sharia of Allah. Be the Sharia for him. Be the truth for him. My beloved, I will give you an example about the Sharia and the truth. You have clothes that cover your body. Can you take off all of your clothes and go for a walk in the street? Give me the answer. If I told you to take off all of your clothes and go for a walk in the street, what would you say to me? You see, my beloved, this is for the people. What would people say about you? Maybe they'd say you're crazy. What does this mean? See what Allah means. He is the merciful, and from his wisdom he says, cover my jewel. He's very careful about his jewel, and he sent the order for you to take this dress, the Sharia, to cover your body. Because he says, this is my body. He says, cover the jewel that I gave you. If you give the jewel to everyone, then it will not be a jewel. It will become rubbish and you'll lose everything. And then Allah will ask you about everything that you made. And for that reason, he wants you to be very careful about his gift. Give your treasure to your real beloved who loves you and you love him. And there is only Allah who you love. Be for him, and then you will see that he is for you, and you are for him. This is the real beloved. If you work, you do not work for people because you work for him. You talk with him, and you listen from him, and see what he gives to you. He gives you all of his quality to know what you are. Through this holy presence, you can know. But without this holy presence, you could not follow. You could not know him. He gives you the practices for that and says, follow the practices from me, because I want to help you to know me. Then how can you leave the Sharia? Be careful about the Sharia and understand what is behind the Sharia. This answer is the deep meaning for this question. I give you what you want to take. This is from you, not from me, because this is your food. You take your food from me, and I haven't anything to give, but Allah gives everything. I am a very poor slave. The deep meaning of Moses' question to God on the mountain. My beloved, when Musa alayhi wasalam went to the mountain and asked Allah to show him his reality, Musa really wanted to see Allah in his presence. When Musa sent this word to Allah, Allah looked to him and answered, look to your mountain. This meant, look inside and you can find me. Go deep inside your presence, then you can see the reality. And in that moment, Musa looked with the eye of Allah. And the eye of Allah was a very strong Jalal. God broke the presence of Musa and returned his presence to be like water, the water of reality. And in that moment, there was no presence for Musa, and there was no human being. There was nothing left of the pictures, nothing of anything that you can see in the material world. He was returned to where he came from, and he saw with his reality, the reality of Allah. And Allah sees himself completely. God is saying with this, when you were with your presence, you cannot carry me. If you want to see me, look to your mountain. This mountain is the heart. God says, nothing can contain me. Only the heart of my beloveds can contain me. In the Quran, he says, I am inside yourself. Look inside and you will see me. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَ تُبْصِرُونَ. When your heart completely remains and contain what I say and you understand what I mean, then you see me. After one day and night, Musa began to return as he had been before, but it was not the presence from before. His body was like a mirror. If you looked inside him, you couldn't see a presence. He was reborn, and Allah had changed his presence to be like glass. You can put water in a glass and not be able to see that it is there. God filled him with knowing. And this was the beginning of Musa's message. And this is the epilogue. This is in poetic form. I speak with the tongue of the presence of the highest divine essence. Follow our order and we raise for you all the veils, and we thereby give acceptance to all who love us. Come to us and find shelter at our side to protect you from the evils of our creation. Be humble and lowly under our protection, and be sincere toward us. Then you will meet with happiness and fulfillment. Leave to us the whole affair and all that it entails, for there is neither nearness nor separation except by our order. Do not oppose us in any matter. Everyone whom we wanted, we loved so that he could love us. It's proclaimed in all the creation that we love him, and all of the creation hears and obeys the order of our beloved. And he is dressed in the garments of dignity because he stood with humility and lowliness at the door of our greatness and might, and we raised for him the veils and permitted him to look upon us, and we gave him the secret of our secrets, how to arrive, O seeker, to the path of God. Take hold firmly of the reins of our love and take advantage of the night so you will benefit from the time of our nearness. Rise in the watches of the night, for the night is the appointed time for him who wants to reach his love. Take advantage of it to reach us, for the night is but a means for the one who is intent on reaching his beloved, and a raceway. So advance, and you will reach the goal. Move toward us in the night, fearing nothing. Stay in the remembrance, for in the steadfastness of the remembrance, the inner peace is to be found. Do not let anything distract you from the remembrance of us, and make our face the intention of your remembrance. Do not forget the covenant we made with you in the beginning, for we inscribed it with your consent. Do not forget the favors we have bestowed upon you. You ignored them before when you were ignorant. And through the knowledge we have given you, you can know, and you can know us well. Do not forget anything we have bestowed upon you. You must be trustful, and you must not break our covenant. We ordered you to come to us obediently, but you slackened, so we sent you the best of messengers. We have sufficed and enriched you more than our other people. So do not turn in any other direction but ours. You forgot us, but we reminded you. Do you not remember our benevolence? And do not forget our favors. We found you destitute, and so we said to you, ask us and we will accept you. But you rejected what we sent. We bestowed upon you the best of things, but you turned away. Can you find anyone who will fulfill your desires apart from us? You asked us, and we gave you more than you needed. You disobeyed us, but we gave you chances because of our clemency. We forgave you, and we gave you whatever you needed charitably. We showed you a way full of clemency, and we forgave your faults. We call you with kindness, but you act in the opposite way. Although we know you and have chosen you for our slaves, have you no shame? What have you wrought? What you have wrought is enough. Are you not afraid of our chastisement before us? Has the time not come to abandon your mistakes, to return to us, and to see the fulfillment of our promise? Our lovers chose love as their faith, and they do not resist our way, the way of love. We said to the lovers in a retreat of deep surrender, we gave you sight to behold us, and thereby to unveil you and to fill you with our infinite beauty. If you saw our beauty as our beloveds have seen it, you would not have fled to any other. If you had seen our lights, you would have left all others and come to us. And if you had been touched by the breezes of our nearness, you would have loved us and yearned to dwell with us. And if you had tasted a morsel of our love, you would have forgiven those who died for our love. And if you had heard the beauty of our voice, you would have shed your pride and come to us lovingly, obediently, and humbly, to obtain security in our sacred presence. We receive any person who comes to us obediently, and we remove misery, distress, and despair from him. And if he moves away from us, he loses his way and his faith, and will find rejection and not achieve his goal. But one who loves us must be steadfast, patient in what we decree. Our love is not easy, and who claims it to be so, we tell him that he does not know it completely. The easiest way in love is to be slain, because forsaking us is more difficult than being slain. This is the way in which we speak to our lovers. What excuse do you have to make to us? The most special lovers said in a humble and obedient way, we like to be slain in the battle of love. We will accept no ransom but your nearness, but we will be satisfied by a fleeting glance from you. Our intention is to make you feel satisfied with us, and everyone says that you are our sustenance. We found you before and after birth to be the most generous lover we have ever had. You gathered us in wombs with your kindness, and your protection is our greatest support. You made our mothers' bellies our beds and took responsibility for us in our weakness. You gave our mothers calmness to have mercy on us and made our sustenance flow into their breasts. You raised us as children and with your compassion made our tongues say, "You are our Lord." You made this known to us, and we are forever thankful for finding our way through your inspiration. You've inspired and you've instructed us by true Islam, and you have mercy on us. You sent Muhammad to all creatures on this earth as a mercy for them. Yes, he is their salvation. Yes, he is a messenger who came to save the people, who brought a straight religion, and he is our secret order. By our obedience to him, we are the first to attain, and we have reached safety, have won our happiness and quenched our thirst. He is our guide. God's mercy be upon him, our goodness, our shelter on the day of judgment and resurrection. Ibn al-Rafai said, singing with the tongue of the essence of Allah, follow our orders and we will raise our veils for you. This final couple pages is the closing of the book. Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid al-Jamal al-Rafai, the guide of the peace and the love and the mercy and the freedom and the justice from the holy city of Jerusalem, calls from his heart to the heart of the world, to every heart that wants to know the truth about God and about himself or herself. Wake up now. Leave everything from before. Leave everything that you have thought or have known and come to sit inside my heart to listen to my words. For I am no other than yourself from whom your tears are flowing. I live inside you, and you can know me from the eye of your heart. But do not let anything from any place or person or thing hide me or bury me from the eye of your heart. I am the voice of your questions, your confusion and doubts, but I am also the voice of your longing and your yearning for truth. Come to me, take everything from my heart and from my soul. For they are yours and have been created only for you. And I live in the world only for you. O you who search now for the truth and for the meaning behind everything that you see, come to my heart and my soul and listen to my words, to you, to be born again, now and to your real life and your real truth. In this truth, there is only one in all of the creation, in every face, in everything that lives and moves and has life. Every person is you. Everything is you. Because only the truth created you. And at the same time, everything that you see, to this truth everything returns. This is the law. There's only one behind everything, before everything, and inside everything that has life. There is Allah, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar, the one and only, the Almighty. So I say to you to leave everything on the outside and look inside your heart and pray inside your heart with deep politeness and deep praying. then you will see where the true medicine is for all the suffering and sickness in the world. And inside my heart, you can find the real peace and the real love and everything that you're searching for, because you are me. I am you. Leave everything, return to your real life as you were in the beginning and as you are now in reality, the child born into this world who knows only himself and knows only Allah. How do you become or realize the holy being that you are, for whom the guide has manifested to reflect? Well, search about yourself, my beloved. Know yourself well, what you truly long for, ask for, so that you may receive it. Call to me from your inner depth, so that I may meet you in that depth from which you call. Again, I say drink, surrender. You take from this sea what you give to the sea. Beloved, I await you. I put my heart, the truth, under every foot. Know by what you are supported, by what you are carried, on what ground you stand, on what path you travel. Beloved in the Hajj, remember, you are walking on my heart, and be full of care with every step. This is the place of the guide. He is rooted in the teachings and in the bloodline of all those guides who came before him in an unbroken line of transmission from the master guide Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and upon all the prophets and messengers and guides and teachers and students in this holy line. All of this is from the quality of the perfect one. All of his life is in service to his beloved Allah, and all the pictures of the life of the guide are the proof of his perfect surrender. Having favored many sincere seekers with an explanation of the path to Allah, his example turns his students to the prayer of blessings on the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is God's mercy. It follows that everything that his sheikh has bestowed on his students is a consequence of his perfect following of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of his speech and his actions follow the command of his Lord, and those guided by him are blessed, and this is expressed in a poem by Ibn al-Farid. Each of the nights of my life which passed with the loved ones was a wedding night, and after leaving them, nothing was dear to my eyes. My heart, remembering them, found solace in nothing else. O paradise from which the soul falls ennobled, did I not yearn for the lasting abode, I would perish from grief. The delight of our lives is only in the company of the fuqara, expressed in the words of Sheikh Abu Madian. I love them, I serve them, I put them before myself, with my life especially a group among them. Men of noble traits, who wherever they have sat, leave that place wreathed in fragrance unending. Sufism guides their character to subtlety. The fine concord between them delights my eye. They are my folk. They are my love. They are my loved ones, who are worthy to walk in robes of pride and glory. May my gathering to them in God yield remission of my sins and his forgiveness. May Allah bless everyone. Amin, amin, amin. The rest of the book is about 7-8 pages of all of the books that CD has been published in has published, and there's quite a bunch in some summaries of the books, but I'm not going to read those. So it comes to the end of the book. Thank you all for joining me in this adventure, and until the next one, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.